Well, good morning to each one of you. Maybe we can bow for a word of prayer before I start. Dear God, thank you for this time that we can spend together in your word. Thank you for the revelation of yourself to us, that you've given us a helper that intercedes for us, and God, that you desire to live in us and live through us. God, I pray that you would speak through me this morning, that you'd open up people's ears to hear, and God, that you'd be glorified through what your word shares with us. God, I pray for peace and grace to be flowing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was trying to think of what to share this morning, and as I was, Randy had given out a devotional or a Doctrines of the Bible book, and I had looked in there a little bit, and then I got looking up cross references and ended up in Romans 6 and started reading through Romans, and it was just like, wow, there's so much good here that then I was trying to figure out where to start, and seemed like it all tied together so much that I decided, well, I'll just start at the beginning. I don't know if I'll make it through the whole book in devotionals, but I'll get started here and see what we can learn. So one of the big things that sticks out to me when I think about Romans and just the Christian life in general, I guess, is the joy that it is to be a Christian. And it's so easy to get in the mindset of we have a certain set of things that we got to do, and sort of like this do and thou shalt live. And it ends up being walking out a law, some kind of law. And yeah, I don't think most of us think of following the law. Let's just take our government law. I don't think we follow the law because we're afraid we'll get punished. But that's the tendency of how we follow God's law, is we do the right thing, because if we don't do the right thing, we don't make it to heaven, and going to hell is the worst thing in the world, or out of the world. But I think the law is good, and God's law is good, and I think what he revealed in the Old Testament is a portion of his perfect law. And so I think if we delight in doing God's will, we don't need a law. And I think that's what Romans brings out, that God works righteousness into us. So tried to come up with a title, came up with all kinds of different things, but I ended up with Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. So hopefully you can connect that to the book of Romans, and I'm not going to get very far this morning, I'm sure, but we will start in verse 1. So Paul, I was thinking about, wow, okay, so Paul is a human being, and yet he was someone that was being guided by God's Spirit as he wrote this book. A servant. When I think of a servant, I think of a slave doing his master's bidding. And yet, there's that sense of, if you have a master, you've got all your needs taken care of, because you're responsible to listen to him, and everything else is his problem. So I think of that, and if we're a servant, we can let most of things be by the wayside if we're focused on just following our master. So he is a servant of Jesus Christ. And I think of how Jesus was, maybe we'll just turn to that, Matthew 1:21. Jesus was promised. God told Mary through the angel, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I think that is who Jesus is. As we look all throughout his life, his purpose was to save us from our sins. And I think not only from our current sins, or I should say not only from our past sins, but from the effects of sin on our lives. So Jesus Christ, and I think of him as being, well, John says, that which was in the beginning, which we have heard, sorry, that which was in the beginning, how does it say it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was with us, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I think we have reason to believe that Jesus was God. I also think of the verse that says, be not the servants of men. Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of God. And then Christ. If you look at that, I'm not very good with Greek, but I know it means the anointed one, which means this, it speaks of his kingship as the anointed king, the son of David, and also the priest. He is the one that brings access to God, to us. So he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And I got excited about this because I like to think that we're all called to be apostles. And I got studying into this and realized that even Paul realized that his calling was specific. And I think sometimes we get lost in all the general callings in Scripture and feel like we need to do them all. So I ran across 1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul said, I was ordained to preach the gospel. I didn't come to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I was like, wait a second. Well, we'll go into the calling to be an apostle. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I thought it would be neat to just go through all the great commissions that we have of Jesus' last words. So Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then we'll jump to John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And then to put Luke's passages together, since he wrote Luke and Acts, we'll go to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And then Acts 1:8. We'll do 7 and 8. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, we as the church have a calling. We are called to preach the gospel, to baptize, to help, to teach others to observe all the things that Christ commanded. And I think, yeah, we need to work together at that because none of us can do it all. So he was called to be an apostle. That word also can be translated a delegate or an ambassador. So if you think of God leaving us on earth to represent him to, you could say, a hostile power or to people that are disconnected from his kingdom, that he wants there to be peace between his kingdom and all the people of the world. So we are his delegate, we're his ambassador, a commissioner of Christ, a messenger, he that is sent. I think just like Jesus was sent into the world, we are sent into the world, even though we started out here. Jesus didn't start out here, but we're still sent. So Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And I was thinking of that separation. It's so easy to feel like when we're separated from something, we have loss. But I think this separation is more of a gaining that we get. I thought of the word holy, which means set apart. Specialization. If you specialize, you're separated from a lot of things. But it's not that you're losing out. It's probably that you're learning how to master something. appointed, set off by a boundary, limited or excluded. So the question I had was, what are we separated from? Anybody got an idea of what we're separated from? Or what Paul was separated from? Because he said he was separated unto the gospel. What was he separated from? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that aspect. So that's great. I was thinking, is this sacrificial? Or was this freeing? And also, like the boundary that separates us from something else, is it something that we need to stay away from? Should our focus be on staying away from the boundary? I don't think Paul's focus was to be staying away from. He was so focused this way that the boundary was back there somewhere a long ways away. Yeah, is this a disadvantage or a high calling? I think Paul understood that he had to gain by being separated to the gospel. So that's verse 1. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Actually, let me back up a little bit. The gospel was the good news. So he was separated unto the good news. And I was thinking about, there's so many different ways that you can describe the gospel. I thought it'd be interesting to hear some of you guys' thoughts. What is the gospel?
That the king has
that the King has come. There is a king, yes. So I have Jesus has come. We have a king. I think there's also, which speaks of the king coming, that the kingdom of God is on earth. I think that is good news. The kingdom of God is right here, right at hand. I also think that the curse of sin is broken. If we have a king that is victorious over sin, well then, sin has lost its power. It's no longer ruling. It may be a subject somewhere where, a rebel going around trying to find people to serve it, but it's not the highest authority. Acts 20:24. I have a reference here. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So the grace of God is part of the gospel. That life is not a strict, you get what you deserve. That's the way I see it. Like, grace is getting better than you deserve. I think another part of the gospel, which I don't have a verse to point this out to, but is that righteousness comes not from doing the right thing, but from allowing the life of Christ to work itself out through us. Because never are we going to be able to do the right thing and have life and have righteousness be complete. So we're going to miss it. We're going to miss out unless we embrace the gospel that Christ is our righteousness. He's the way that we become righteous. And as we look at that, we begin to act more and more righteous. okay, so verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I think we know of lots of prophecies of Christ coming, but I thought I would turn to just one of them, Genesis 12. I guess God is the prophet here, telling us the way things are going to be. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And I think Jesus was a fulfillment of all the families of the earth being blessed through Abraham. I also think that just Abraham's faith, his doing, walking out what God told him, even though it was different than everybody else, in that sense, he blessed us by being an encouragement to follow his example of faith. Which promised by the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There he's a servant. We are servants, and he is our Lord. Again, I think that just speaks so much of Jesus being God, that we are serving him, and he is our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. There again we see the kingship coming in. Maybe I'll turn to 2 Samuel 6:17. Did I have this wrong? Okay, sorry. Okay, 2 Samuel 7:16. Maybe back up to verse 15 first. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. I think, yeah, Jesus is the son of David, so he's the promised king that will reign forever. Then we have, so he was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And I think that's another thing that Romans talks a lot about, is the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And I think, yeah, I don't want to sound heretical, but this is part of what really inspires me about Romans is the duplicity that we have in ourselves of walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. It's like listening to sin or listening to God. And we know that if we live after the flesh, well, sin is the natural result. But if we let Christ live in us, Christ lived a sinless life on earth, and he wants to live a sinless life through us. So if we're following... If we're living in the Spirit, we will not sin. And so then, the flesh has to die. The flesh is buried with Christ in baptism, and the Spirit is where life is. And which part of you do you identify with? Are you the person that gets their way when they're living in the flesh, or are you the person that is full of joy when God is living through you? And I think that speaks of the unity that we have with Jesus as well, like that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. If Christ is living in us, then we are one with Jesus. So, by whom... So he was proven to be the Son of God with power. And interesting to switch the words around, and instead of the Spirit of holiness, I think that is with power according to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proved that Jesus was the Son of God by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So our calling is in grace. We are called to something higher than what we deserve. And our calling is from a resurrected Lord. If Jesus, who rose from the dead, called us to follow him, then we can walk in newness of life. And our calling is to help all nations to hear, to believe by faith, and to walk that out by the Spirit of God in them. So we are to preach obedience to the faith among all nations for Jesus' name. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, not only are we those people that preach to others, but all of you are. And I thought this was a really interesting thing that he ties that together. I don't know if it's actually supposed to be tied together, but there's a colon in my Bible, which ties it into the next verse, to all that be in Rome. And I thought, Paul saw himself as an apostle to preach to places that haven't heard. And yet he ties his calling into the people that are at Rome, that they are called by Jesus to preach the gospel to all those that are in Rome. All the people that are in Rome are beloved of God. All the people are called to be saints. Not everyone listens to his calling, but that calling is to be walked out of preaching the gospel first to our city, because they're all called to be saints and they're all loved by God. So, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got looking into what is grace and what is peace. And I'm not sure where these definitions came from. They came from my Bible app. But grace was described as that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. And it says that it's brought about, grace comes, it's the merciful kindness by which God influences souls, turns them to Christ, keeps them, strengthens them, increases their faith, increases their knowledge, increases their affection, and kindles them to exercise virtue. I thought, wow, if grace would just fill our lives, if grace would fill each one of us, and if we could somehow help others to see the grace that God has toward them, that God wants to fill them with. That's as good a gospel as I can think of. Something that brings us joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. And that just draws us in all kinds of different ways into a relationship with God. And then peace, which this is a Greek word, but I had to think, what would have they used if it was Hebrew? I'm sure he would have used shalom, which is also translated peace in the Old Testament. But this peace is described as harmony, safety, prosperity, security, the tranquil state of a soul assured of salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God is content with any earthly lot. And I thought, yeah, would God that we were all filled with grace and peace, that we would have the security in our relationship with God, that we'd be able to walk that out in whatever earthly lot we have. So may God draw us together as I think of Paul preaching the gospel all over. I also got a note from Caleb and Rolanda, so I thought I'd read it to you all. Dear brothers and sisters at Beacon of Light, it was very special to get all the things you sent with Alex and Dave. It's really nice to see pictures of you all, and we so enjoyed the notes you wrote us. A blessing to get acquainted a bit, even from afar. Thank you. The children have been enjoying the bubbles with their friends here. Nigerian children have never seen anything like it before, and they love it. Thank you so much for sending the necessary equipment to program the MegaVoice players. We are excited about the greater opportunity this brings to share the good news with the Fulani people. Please pray with us for God to give us opportunities to share and wisdom to know who to give the players to. We want to give them to those who truly seek the Lord, to those who truly seek and will listen with an open heart. Pray for God to work in the hearts of those who receive the word, that they would listen to it, and that the Spirit of God would enlighten their understanding. We are so grateful for your encouragement, your prayers, and your financial support for the work here. May the name of Jesus be glorified among the Fulani of Niger because of your investment in his kingdom here. Blessings, Caleb, Rolanda, Smoker, and Rochelle, Judson, Walter, and Rowan. God bless you.